how to describe what happens every week. When I get to lead music, I enjoy it. I do. It's interesting to see and feel the dynamic of what happens up here on the stage and what happens out here with you guys singing and worshiping. I appreciate you guys coming along with us because, you know, we couldn't do it without your help. This morning, as we get started, I want to give you a word, and I want to give you a few definitions of that word. Experiment is the word. Pilot study, examination, check assessment, evaluation, appraisal, trial, test period, test run, beta test, dry run. Any of those sound familiar to anybody in the room? For the young people, I use the thesaurus. That's not a dinosaur. Okay? Thesaurus. You should try it. It's pretty interesting. All of these are terms that we would find for a word in the English language called trial. A trial. And because we're at church and we're church people and we can do churchy things as church people, we don't even like the word trial. And so we have changed it in our common church vocabulary. We don't even use the word trial anymore. We certainly don't use anything like experiment or examination or evaluation. We like the word storm. That's so much better. A storm. Oh, that makes me think. And it probably makes you think. Matthew 8 and Mark 4, the wonderful story. It's in every children's Bible that is in our home. Of Jesus doing what? Calming the storm. We like this word storm so much because now we can weather them. Now we can face them. Now we can ride them out. And so it makes us feel better about life whenever we can go through a storm instead of a trial or a test or a examination period. We like it so much better. And then because we think about this text being, because we think about this text in such a term that we connect it to other stories of the Bible, we like to put storm on everything in life now. Stump your toe, it's a storm. Sprain your ankle, it's a storm. Lose your job, it's a storm. Have a zit on your nose in the morning, it's not a storm. That's the end of the world. To a teenage girl, you bet, right? It's the end of the world as you know it. Why do we do this? They're laughing at me. Why do we do this? I don't know why we do this, but I'm glad you're here this morning, and I'm glad we're going to get to talk about why we do it. Because we're going to be looking at, for the next few weeks, storms, if you want to, because everybody's comfortable with that word, and I don't have to rephrase it, which I tried. But still, at the end of the day, y'all are going to go back to storms. So we're going to look for the next few weeks at storms and trials and problems. And not only where they come from, but what they are useful for. And so I'm glad you're here this morning. Let's turn over to James, the book of James, chapter 1. Storms. When you get there, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4, if you'll stand, if you're able and willing for the reading of God's Word. James chapter 1, starting in verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Heavenly Father, as we look at this divine text, Father, as always, we are completely incapable of interpreting divine words without divine help. So, Father, we ask for the movement of your Holy Spirit in us and through us so that we might see the text for how it is to be read and understood for each one of us this morning. Father, thank you for what you're about to do in this place. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What do we have here at the beginning of the book of James? We find the half-brother of Jesus, which most scholars would agree this is who wrote the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, writing to persecuted Christians. He's going to give them a letter of encouragement and instruction for Christian living. Sounds like a great plan, doesn't it? It's worth the read, I will tell you, if you want to take a look at the whole book of James. Have you ever had someone tell you either a really good part of a sentence, only to follow it by a really bad part of a sentence? A really good front end of the statement, followed by something that was catastrophic at the end. Let me give you an example. A man once said to his wife, he came home and he said, "Honey, I have found a great job. It's a 10 a.m. start, a 6 p.m. finish, no overtime, no weekends, and it's $2,000 a week in cash." Okay? Pretty good job. The wife says, "That's unbelievable." The husband says, "Yep, you start on Monday." Good statement followed by not so good statement. Here's another one, just to keep going. Guy goes to the doctor, and the doctor comes back with his clipboard and says, "I have some really great news for you." And the patient says, "Yeah, what's that?" The doctor says, "Yeah, they're going to name a disease after you." Some of you will not get that till later. I'm okay with that. Just scratching their head. It's okay. So what do we do with this? I want us to take a look at this verse in James, starting in verse 2. And James does much the same with his statement here. He says, "Consider it all joy." And let's just stop right there for a moment. Consider it all joy. Now, this is something that we can get behind. This is something that we can really sink our teeth into as a church, as individuals. Consider it joy. But before we get into the rest of his sentence, I want us to look at a couple of words. I want us to start with the word consider. I want you to consider this. Yes, I did do that. Sorry. We're going to look at the word consider, so you have to consider it. Right, Anthony? All right, he's still with me. Consider. Because we think about that word and we think, well, I will think about it. I will consider it. And I will consider it in a list or a within the parameters of a whole bunch of other stuff. I will consider it. James is telling his audience here, to these persecuted believers, I want you to make this your leading thought. I want it to be first. Consider it, he says. Make this your first thought. Not a passing thought that you can't remember 10 minutes from now. Not a thought that is in conjunction with 100 other things that you've been thinking about for the day. This is going to be at the front of the list. If you had a Rolodex, young people don't know what that is anymore. If you had a whole bunch of cards lined up in your head from front to back, and every card had a thought on it, you would take the card that has this and put it in the very front. This is your leading thought. what we get whenever we see the word consider. What are we supposed to consider? Consider it. It. All of it. Everything that goes on. How do we consider it? Joy. Oh, this is a word that's so much fun to deal with. Joy. Because we instantly go to the dictionary definition of this word. What is the dictionary definition? Well, it has to do with our feelings. The very first two words of the dictionary definition say a feeling of great joy or happiness. I love it whenever they use the word to describe the word. It is a feeling of emotion. But we can't do that, can we? Consider it all joy. Nobody lives that way. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness is what it really means. This is the definition of the word joy in the world. A feeling. Joy that is tied to our circumstances. Joy that is tied to my emotions. Joy that is tied to my feelings. It would be difficult to live life this way. And so what is James really saying? If you look at the word joy and get a definition of the in the context of James 1, 2, consider it all joy. This is what it means in this text. An awareness of God's grace, an awareness of God's favor, or a recognition of His grace. Remember, we just sang about that amazing grace. And I told you, and I was telling myself at the same time, God's grace is always there. It is always available. I am, however, not always responsive to it. I don't always see it. My wife would tell me I'm looking with my man eyes. Have you guys ever experienced this? Go get me something out of the refrigerator. Where is it? All the men in the room know what I'm talking about. And the wife says, it's right in front of your face. Oh, there it is. Glad you were here to save me. An awareness of God's grace, an awareness of God's favor, a recognition of God's grace. Do you realize what this definition is missing? It has nothing to do with my feelings. Oh, that makes me feel better, actually. Because to put the leading thought into my mind that it could be joy has nothing to do with how I feel. It's almost like we get let off the hook. Because now I can take that card that says joy that is in the back of my head and think, I have to get all of these other cards right and I have to feel right to have joy. And I can take it and I can put it in the front of my brain as the leading thought and start to become aware of God's goodness and start to become aware of God's grace and God's favor. This is joy. On Friday afternoon and Saturday, we spent the day in Grapevine, at Great Wolf Lodge, indoor water park. It's a great place to be if you like water and humidity. It was actually a lot of fun. And we went on this tube, this slot, this ride, where all four of our family members could get on together and go down this humongous water slide. And I watched, and I watched my kids' faces light up, and I watched my wife look panic-stricken when we went up the top of this ramp, and it looked like I was going to fall over on her. And I look at my kids as they laugh and we scream and we have great excitement as we go down this ride. And it brings me, what? Joy. But see, I don't want us to get confused here, because this is joy that is based on my feelings. I cannot live that way my whole life. I would be completely exhausted and asleep on the floor all the time. You don't think our kids slept well after that? After a whole day and a half of water park adventure? They slept like rocks on the way home. When we got home, got up to eat dinner, and went back to sleep. Because you cannot sustain this kind of emotion for very long. Because the joy that comes in this text has nothing to do with our feelings. It can't. You cannot put feeling into this. Why? Because remember those silly statements that I made on the back half of a sentence that weren't so good? Watch James' words here. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. What? Now I have to consider it joy when I'm facing trials. And remember these people that he is writing to are in spiritual and social exile. They have been cast away. When you face trials of many kinds, it says, a trial is a test, a proving. And I like to think about this as like a clinical trial. Have you ever been a part of a clinical trial or seen someone that's part of a trial? They are going to subject you to something in order to prove something else. So you're going to have a mixture of things happening. You can't just have a trial. You have to be subjected to something, whether it be some kind of a medicine that they're going to give you, some kind of stress they're going to put you under. Some kind of trial has to be subjected upon us so that we can prove something else. We have to get beyond what we're in to get to the end result. And he says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. When you have your trial mixed in with your faith, watch this, knowing, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You see, you and I get to go through these trials in order that something gets produced. And we hardly ever look at our lives in such a manner. We just don't. Because we think about a trial. We think about a storm that we are in. And we don't ever think about the fact that it is part of a bigger equation. You cannot get to the number 4 without 2 plus what? Young people over here. 2 plus what? 2 plus what equals 4? 2 plus 2. What if you didn't have that other 2? It would equal 2. You have to have something else in the equation to get to where you want to go. If you want to get to 4, you got to have 2 numbers. 2 plus 2. 3 plus 1, right? Even 4 plus 0 works. There still had to be another number in there. And what is our joy in the middle of trials produce? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. What is this? What in the world does that mean? Brother Ronnie, I don't know what it means. Endurance. Does it take endurance to do cows? Does it take endurance to run a race. We think about this word, and I think about trying harder, endurance. They even have such things called endurance races. Never been a part of one of those, obviously. Well, let's talk about something that takes endurance. You ever thought about a marathon? What's a marathon? 26.2 mile race. You can't forget that last two tenths, brother. If I get 26, I'm going to make the whole thing. Man, 26.2 miles is a marathon. Clearly, I'm not a marathon runner. If I were, though, if I were to take on the mindless task, because I say mindless because I would have had to lost my mind to try to run a marathon, of running 26.2 miles, what do you think would be going through your mind and my mind at about mile marker number 4? Let's just say, I'm just telling you, I did the fun run at the elementary school. It was fun for somebody, but it you and a whole bunch of other kids passed me, Genesis. That's okay. And it was 1 mile. And I did it twice, once with Kesley and once with Kale. So you think about a marathon, 26 miles, about mile marker number 4. What am I thinking? And I want to quit, I'm pretty sure. I have done enough running to know that your body does kind of get into a rhythm. And you kind of forget about all of your surroundings and you kind of get to this place where you can push beyond what you think you can. So let's go beyond 4 miles because now something's chasing us. And let's just say we're up to about mile marker number 16. That's a lot of miles, folks. I think about endurance in this way. And now we have to just try harder? Have to keep trying? No, because whenever trials come like this, whenever we get under such immense pain and pressure and circumstances are not in our favor, like mile number 17, what do we want to do? We want to quit. Have the people riding those motorcycles pick me up. I remember we used to have to run cross country to play basketball at my school. I guess they really didn't have to, but they made it feel that way. Cross country was not my sport. Okay? I'm more of a tug of war kind of guy. And our coach would take us to the end of this 5 mile long road and drop us off and say, I'll see you guys in a little while, and drive off. And we'd have to run back to the school. It's the only way we could get back. Some people in our group chose not to run the whole time. They would have their friends come and pick them up and drive them a couple of miles, and then they'd wait because they knew if they got there too early, coach would know. So they did at least try to plan in their cheating. I'm not giving them credit for that. But think about this. That's what we do. We just want to get off. When it's hard, we just want to quit. I'll get out of the race. I'll get my friends to come pick me up. But remember, we have taken the joy card that is in the back of our mind and moved it to the front of our mind so that we can encounter trial, knowing that the testing of our faith is part of a bigger equation that God has ordained. And so now, instead of getting off, what do? Try harder? This is about posturing. As we sit up in our chairs and we try to take note about this posture, this is about staying under. Endurance is about remaining under in the middle of the trial. Remaining under what? Staying under God's umbrella of mercy. In the middle of that trial, whenever your circumstances are not going well, whenever things are just going poorly, whenever I have lost a job, when I have lost this, and whenever I've lost that, and somebody is mad at me, and this is going on, and that is going on, and we can fill in the blanks with every red chair in this room about what is going on that is a trial in our lives. Because James doesn't say, if they happen to you, this is how you deal with it. when they happen to you, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And endurance is to remain under the Lord's leadership and remain under His umbrella of mercy and to sit under Him in the middle of the storm and in the middle of the pressure. We just need to take a seat sometimes instead of trying to get out. We just need to try to stay in it with Him, because this is His plan. This is His equation. He is sovereign and in control, and He knows best. But in our ignorance, we try to get out. We say, you know what, God? I don't like how this is going for me. I'll just get out. I'll just get away. We end up like Jonah running. You see, God does not always deliver us from our trial, but He is always there to be with us in the trial. And I know that sounds a little cliche, but it is the truth, because this word endurance is to remain or to stay, to remain under Him. As we finish, let's look at verse 4. And let the endurance, as we stay in Him and live under Him, have its perfect result. Remember, this is all part of something in the middle of an equation to get from one place to another place with the addition of a trial. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, here's what happens. If we can stay in long enough, if we can remain in Him in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of something that is not going our way, because remember, our joy is not predicated on our circumstances. Our joy is predicated on acknowledging that He is God, and acknowledging that He has favor, and acknowledging that He has His good works in store for us, and that may not always look good for us. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, the faith that has been given, because faith is always given, it is a God-given product. We cannot conjure up faith. We cannot have enough of it, because God gives us what we need. We can ask for an increase of it, which we should always do. But as we increase our faith, He might cause us to have joy. And that joy is not based on our circumstances. It is becoming aware of His divine nature. And it is always working out for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. And we're going to talk about that tonight. As we finish up this morning, I want you to remember, take that joy card out of the back of your mind. Let it be my leading thought. Make joy my leading thought, because I can have joy no matter what circumstances come, no matter what happens. I can experience joy because it is not about my circumstances, it is about my awareness. Am I aware of what God is doing in my life? And as I become aware of that, I become more mature, because that perfect word is about maturity. It is to become more mature, to reach the age of maturity spiritually. And that's what we're all after. So this morning, maybe you've never experienced that joy. Maybe you've never experienced what we're talking about. You don't even know who Jesus is. If you don't know who Jesus is, we want to talk to you about that. We want to share with you who He is, what He's done, so that you can take this joy and figure it out through the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to come to this altar and pray, because you have become so numb to what God is doing in your life that you just feel like you're just in a downward spiral of negativity and things that are just not going your way. And we need to stop having our pity parties and become aware of what God is doing and let Him finish that equation. Whatever it is you need to do this morning, the altar is open. In a few minutes, as we pray this morning, we're going to have the ladies come back and sing. Travis and I will be here. If you need to pray, you come. If you need to come talk to one of us, please come. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to see. Father, for allowing us to see that our joy that we are to be, that is to be the leading thought in our mind, that joy does not have to do with our feelings. It does not have to do with our circumstances. Father, everything could be crashing down around us, and we still have an opportunity to experience joy. Father, help us to do that this morning. Maybe there's a person in this room that needs to experience Jesus for the first time. Would they come? Maybe there's a person in this room that needs to become more aware of your presence. Become more aware of your goodness. Become more aware of your favor. Because they have been through trial after trial after trial, and storm after storm, and they're just not experiencing joy. Father, help that person this morning. Help us to see that you are at work. Give us a big picture view. We give this time to you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me?